So I'll get started on our announcements. First, I want to welcome our visitors and say that we're glad you're here and we hope you continue to come. We love having you as part of our worship service. Also, if you would register your attendance in the red folders at the end of your pew and pass those down so everyone can let us know that they're here. And today, you will notice in your bulletin that you have this. We will be taking our Week of Compassion offering today, and the envelope is actually in this. So if you want to give to the Week of Compassion, open that up and you have yourself an envelope. And we would love to take that because there's so many people, and you can read in here that it helps. Next, our reenactment group will meet at 4 p.m. today. That's anyone and everyone that is connected to it, whether it be a costumer, a programmer, a set decorator, or an actor. We need you all there. And then Soup and Scripture will be held at 6 p.m., and we're working through the letter on Hebrews. So when you turn to your New Testament, to the letter to the Hebrews, you can read through that and then come tonight at 6, and we're going to be discussing that and having soup, which is really good. The church office will be closed tomorrow, February 18th, in observance of President's Day. We also have our cabinet meeting tomorrow night at 6 p.m. And then Lunch and Learn will be Tuesday the 19th at 11 a.m. in Disciple Hall. And then the choir will meet at 5:30 on Wednesday, and the youth meet at 5:30 on Wednesday. Now, you'll notice it says on Tuesday, Events Committee. That's been moved. So Events Committee's the 26th, so you can disregard the 19th. And then the Multimedia Committee will meet Wednesday the 20th at 7 p.m. Next Sunday is Randy Sams. So for those who will be serving for Randy Sams, is it the CMF doing that? CMF is doing Randy Sams, which, by the way, Christian Men's Fellowship met yesterday, and there were 12 in attendance, which is really nice. The group's getting bigger, and we're having a lot of fun and discussing a lot of things. And so the men had a good time yesterday morning. And then our Soup and Scripture will continue next Sunday at 6 p.m., so be sure that you come to that. I was looking around, and I didn't see him. Dr. Terry Ewing was going to join us today from Bright Divinity School. And I guess he didn't make it, or he might be stuck in traffic. But he's the senior associate for advancement at Bright, and he was going to bring a little thing to set up and give a little talk, and apparently he got held up. So I'm sorry we missed that, because as a graduate of Bright, I can tell you some really wonderful ministers have come from Bright Divinity School. So we always enjoy having a representative come. Now, what I'd like for you to do is to stand and greet each other the old-fashioned way, shaking hands and patting backs. Thank you.
Welcome to worship at Central Christian Church. The call to worship. Grace and peace be yours in abundance, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now would you please stand with us and join in singing, I'll Fly Away. God of life, we rejoice in your love, which has filled creation from the beginning, and which calls all life into being. We praise you for Jesus Christ, who reveals most fully your loving purpose for all people. We bless you for your Spirit, who draws all humanity into the circle of your tender love. Gracious God, bless us with your presence, so that our worship and our lives may be a true celebration of your love in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. And now, O Lord, hear us as we pray that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated, please. Let the children come forward for the children's moment. Morning. Ooh, that's pretty. I like that. Hey, handsome, how are you? Doing good, huh? I'm going to ask y'all if y'all have ever seen one of these. Have you ever seen something like that? You have? Have you? You haven't? This is a What Would Jesus Do bracelet, which were very popular a few years ago. A lot of people were buying them and wearing them. And that's all fine and well. The only problem is some of the people that I saw wearing them, not many, but a few, were doing some really bad things while they were wearing it. And that made me stop and think. Should we say, what would Jesus do? Or should we say, what had Jesus done? What did he actually do? Not what would he do, but what did he do? See the difference? We read the Bible and we read about what he did, not what he would do, but what he did. Okay? Now, you think about that, and there's people that, you know, as I said, might wear this bracelet, and then they would do something that wasn't so nice and didn't appear to be very Christian or very much like what Jesus would have done. So when Jesus was walking the earth, do you think he ever had any temptations? I bet you don't. But he did. Jesus had temptations. He did. And he got tempted for 40 days. He was out in the desert, and he was tempted with all kinds of things. Did you know that? I mean, he could have been made the ruler over kingdoms. He didn't do it. He was asked to turn stones into bread. He wouldn't do it. He said, man does not live by bread alone. And the last thing was he was taken up on top of the temple in Jerusalem and said, throw yourself off, because God's angels will come and get you. And you know what Jesus said? He said, don't tempt the Lord thy God. In every instance, Jesus quoted Scripture for why he wasn't going to do that. And that's what we do. We read what Jesus did, and we know what not to do. So we go through life, and we have temptations. We, you know, sometimes we think, it'll be okay if I'm bad just this once. No one will know. But if we read Scripture, we find out that that's probably not a good thing to do. Even if it's just one time, that's not what Jesus did. Jesus did the right thing, didn't he? Yeah. Well, that's what we do, is we look to Scripture to tell us what it is Jesus did, so we'll know what to do. And let's see, after all of that, Jesus left the desert, and he came out, and he began his ministry because he had been tested, tempted, and proven. And once he did that, he was ready to go. Are you ready? Are you ready to be a follower of Jesus? Are you ready to be a follower of Jesus? Yeah, I knew you would be. Let's pray. Dear Father, help us to learn what the Bible teaches us to do, so when we're tempted, we can do what Jesus did. Answer with Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Please join us with the It Is Well With My Soul, number 561.
Oh,
Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of your Son. We want to acknowledge your divine presence with us. We know we don't have to ask you to come down to be among us. You're already here. Closer are you than breathing and nearer than hands and feet. We're assured in your word that if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. And knowing you hear us, we have the petitions we desire of you. We don't want to ask anything outside your will, and we don't want to ask just for selfish motives or simply personal desires. But we do seek your will, and we do your will as we understand it both personally and individually and as a part of the body of Christ. It is so good to be here today in your house this morning with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We belong together. We're a part of each other, and we look forward to this time of being in fellowship with each other and with you. Lord, some of our brothers and sisters here this morning are carrying heavy burdens. Some of the concerns are hidden deep in their hearts, and nobody on earth knows, and sometimes they think nobody else cares. They can't share the hurts and disappointments and betrayals with anyone, but you know all about it. You share every heartache and you care. You temper and calm every tempest that blows, and you know all about it. So please help each one in the deep recesses of their own hearts and minds and emotions to reach out to you, because you're already reaching out to us and you want to meet deep needs right now. May we go away from this service with renewed strength and courage. We know this is no time to give up or turn back, because the walk with you is always onward and upward. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers right now. We ask that you be with our youth and youth workers who are at Midwinter this weekend, and that you hold them in your loving arms that they may have a wonderful experience. We're very concerned about the condition of the world and the volatile situation in Korea and the Middle East. We pray for those trying to propose plans for an end to the differences and conflict. Lord, you are sovereign, and we know you have the power to intervene, and we pray for your will to be done. We're reminded that Saul, the persecutor, became Paul, the apostle. So we pray that the hearts of men and women will be changed throughout an encounter with you. We pray for our president and the men and women of his cabinet. We pray for the men and women of Congress as they deliberate and endeavor to lead our nation. We pray, too, for the men and women in the courts of our land, that they might be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. We pray for the needs of our own community. We know there are women, children, and men being abused. We know there are those addicted to drugs and alcohol. We pray there will be a revival of the Spirit right here in Texarkana and around the world that will change people's hearts and that will make a difference in the homes all around us. We pray for the leaders of our church. We ask that you would put your plans and directions in our hearts and minds, and help us all to be sensitive to your will. Be with us, guide us, direct us, for we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Lord, send your Spirit in this place.
Be seated, please. Belief causes the Christian to feel the need to witness. Conviction causes the Christian to get up and witness. Belief causes the Christian to have pity for the lost. Conviction causes the Christian to stop at nothing for the lost. Belief causes the Christian to promise God they will share. Conviction causes the Christian to be faithful in sharing. Belief causes the Christian to know what needs to be done. Conviction causes the Christian to do it. As we share in this meal, may we have the conviction of our Lord and Savior to do the ministry that we're called to do. Our elders pray.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come together here on this first Sunday of this Lenten season as we prepare our hearts and our minds and our way of life for the celebration of that greatest gift that you gave us, and that was your Son and his great gift to us in the hope of everlasting life, as he demonstrated by his broken body and shed blood on the cross that day. Let us be ever mindful of that great sacrifice that we now come to celebrate with this bread that does represent his body, and all that we owe to him for all that he did for us. Let us keep these ever in our mind and ever foremost in our thoughts. In Jesus' name.
Dear Lord, we come around this table on this beautiful Lord's Day. And we know that you are the maker and creator of all things. We know that you have revealed yourself to us through creation and through all nature. But most of all, Lord, you revealed yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and lived and died and was resurrected. And by him and his mercy and grace, we have the opportunity of developing a right relationship with you and of inheriting an eternal home with you. If we will trust and obey and place our trust completely in you. Now, Lord, as we partake of this wine, we know that it represents the blood of Christ given on the cross for the redemption of our sin. As we partake of it, we do so in remembrance of him. Amen.
Thank you.
On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." Likewise, he took the cup, and after blessing it, he said, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin." Our offertory meditation. The final test of a leader is that she or he leaves behind the others the conviction and the will to carry on. I've had a discussion with many people in the past few weeks, including this morning, about the history of this church. It is a very long history that started back in the 1800s. And our foremothers and forefathers left a legacy in this church, the conviction to carry on. May we continue those ministries through our offerings. Let the offering be given and received. Gracious God, for these gifts we are truly grateful. Guide us and give us the wisdom to use them in a way that your ministry will be continued here on earth. For we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
The scripture today is Romans 10, 8b through 13. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believeth with the heart, and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. May the Lord add his blessing to his word.
I appreciate that reading. When you walked off, I was wondering if I was going to have to do that. I appreciate it. I also noticed when the choir started singing, I was a wayward child. Some of you slumped down. What was that? None of you would have been a wayward child. Might have been some in the choir, but none of you. Our scripture today sends a real clear message to us. It is important to note that Paul is clear on where the message concerning faith is, in our mouths and in our hearts. Now, if we declare that Jesus is Lord, but we don't really believe it in our hearts, it is dualism. That is, we say what we don't believe. Not that anyone would ever do that, but it could happen. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, but you choose to speak as those who don't believe, that is, speak in a way to make others like you or accept you, you're still living a dualistic life. Have you in your lifetime felt you were being pulled along by the convictions of others, not your own? For example, as a child or teen, did you go along with what your parents wanted you to believe rather than your own beliefs, or in spite of not really knowing what to believe at that point in your life? Didn't most of us follow in our parents' beliefs before we realized there were other belief systems and came to our own beliefs? That's normal. To go along with your parents' beliefs when you are unsure what to believe is absolutely normal. At times, did you feel you were being pulled into an abyss, like you had no control over your thoughts? That too is normal. But what about when you became an adult? What if you are still going along with the beliefs of others? Two hunters were out hunting and came upon what appeared at first as an abandoned farm. The barn was sagging, the house was in disrepair, and there were junk cars and car parts lying around. The only thing that made it a working farm was a few chickens pecking away and a goat wandering around. As they entered the yard, they came across an old well. One asked the other, "Wonder how deep it is?" The other said, "We'll have to drop something down and listen for the splash." They looked around for something to drop down the well, but the only thing close was an old transmission. They both hauled it over to the well and dropped it in. They counted and waited a long time for the splash. It was a deep, deep well. They turned to leave and saw the goat was charging at them, head down, horns headed straight for them. At the last moment, they jumped aside, and the goat went right past them and straight over the side and down the well. They looked at each other in amazement. As they started to leave, the owner of the farm came up. They chatted for a moment and got permission to hunt on his land. The farmer then asked, "Have you seen my goat?" They said, "Your goat almost killed us, charging at us. You should have had that goat tied up." The farmer replied, "I had him tied to an old transmission." The lesson is this: you follow what you're tied to. Jesus knew this, and so did Paul. And we do follow what we are tied to. As children and or teens, we may feel we have no alternative, but as adults, what reasons, what excuses do we present for not speaking what we believe in our hearts, or not believing in our hearts what we speak? Heart is used in Scripture as the most comprehensive term for the authentic person. It is the part of our being where we desire, deliberate, and decide. It has been described as the place of conscious and decisive spiritual activity. The comprehensive term for a person as a whole, one's feelings, desires, passions, thought, understanding, and will, and the center of a person, the place to which God turns. Once something is firmly implanted in our hearts, it becomes our belief system, our creed. It may be something we find later in life is in error. It may be something we discover is out of step with the times, with the current trend in society. You know how it used to be required in the old days, you wear a suit to church. If you didn't have a suit, you didn't go. Or hats. Went through a phase where you wore a hat and then you didn't wear a hat. Different rules as you go through. There was a time that many parents believed spare the rod, spoil the child. So they were all about whipping their children, at times severely. Nowadays, many parents find that if they whip their children, they can have their children taken away. Even our schools have been redirected where corporal punishment is no longer tolerated. Just a week or so ago, a little boy was in a Dollar General store, and he was being bad. This was actually on the news. A female employee got on to him and told him not to be bad. The boy, in his own words, interviewed on television, said, "I looked at her and said, I'll show you bad." Then he threw a cookie at her. She removed her belt and began spanking him. Not only has the employee been fired, but there are criminal charges against her. Not to debate the rightness or wrongness of the employee's actions, but suffice it to say that back in the day, such an incident probably would not have received the attention that it is today. Why? Because back in the day, the belief system, that which many carried in their hearts, was a different system, a different way of thinking and believing. Now, because things have changed, because we find our old ways of thinking are no longer in the mainstream, or as some may say, outdated, does that mean we ourselves are no longer relevant? Or is it the situation that we need to bring ourselves on board with believing in our hearts and speaking from our mouths that which is updated? That which is updated by Christ. Jesus worked to update people. And he met with resistance from the Sadducees and Pharisees. Let me update you on what that scripture really means. Let me tell you another interpretation that you may not have looked at. Bringing them up, trying to get them up to snuff. You remember last Sunday where Paul spoke of those who kept their minds covered with a veil, that they were not really hearing the gospel, the truth, because they feared change. Feared seeing God's glory. Sometimes a new way of seeing things is warranted. In fact, it is absolutely necessary. There was a man who was cleaning up his desk one Friday afternoon when he noticed an envelope that had been opened. Someone must have placed it there while he was on the phone. He opened it and read it, and to his shock and dismay, it was a notice of being terminated, being laid off from his job. His entire department was being eliminated along with his position. After all these years he had given to his corporation, he found himself filled with resentment and the sense of being victimized. The man sat slumped in his chair in utter despair. He began to think of all the terrible things that were going to happen to him. His entire lifestyle would have to be altered. He thought, I'll have to sell my house. I'm too old to get another job. I'm useless. I'm all washed up. At that moment, the man noticed a spider on his desk, and without thinking, he brushed it off. He was amazed, though, as he watched as the tiny creature automatically spun a strand to bear its weight and swing gracefully to the floor. He pondered, if this tiny creature could draw forth from within itself some reserve of resources to meet its emergency, why could he not do as much? For many hours, he sat deep in troubling thoughts that turned gradually to creative meditation. The man moved from the anxiety of what he lacked to the abundance of the God-given inner resources he had been blessed with. He thought, my security is not in my job or in my money or in my house, but in my connection with the God of grace who has seen me through all circumstances in my life. They might take me off the payroll, but no one can take away the flow of God's abundance in my life. This man had secretly been longing for an opportunity to tap into his creative ability and his interest in writing. Now here was the opportunity before him. A whole new way of thinking possessed him. He thanked God for the new door that had opened before him and even blessed his termination from his job. He left the office with an enthusiasm and zest for life that surprised even himself. To make a long story short, the man had some writings published and earned some money. No, he didn't become a financial giant. However, he had a newfound faith in the abundance of God and became less anxious about what he lacked in his life. Like the tiny spider, the man adapted to the new conditions. Due to the circumstances, the change was dictated. In our society, we have those who have survived the Great Depression, the Dust Bowl, world wars, changes in music, media, and climate. Others have not survived the same. What makes the difference? Viktor Frankl, an Austrian neurologist and psychiatrist, as well as a Holocaust survivor, made a startling discovery about why some people have survived horrible conditions and some have not. He looked at several factors: health, vitality, family structure, intelligence, survival skills. Finally, he concluded that none of these factors was primarily responsible. The single most significant factor, he realized, was a sense of future vision. The impelling conviction of those who were to survive that they had a mission to perform, some important work left to do. Survivors of POW camps in Vietnam and elsewhere have reported similar experiences. A compelling, future-oriented vision is the primary force that kept many of them alive. When your heart and your mouth are in harmony, when you have the conviction of your heart and speak it, then the two have become one. And when the two become one, survival is possible. Faith is possible. The ministry of Jesus Christ is possible. If you are wondering if your heart and words are one in Christ, ask yourself this. As a Christian, what is my vision of the future with my Lord, with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and with my church? What is your vision? Have the two become one in you? Only you and the Lord know the answer. May we come to a point in our lives where our hearts and our mouths become one. And then we will go forward in a ministry that cannot be stopped. Let us pray. Gracious God, all too often we find ourselves struggling and looking around wondering what to do next or how to do it. We know that turning to you can provide answers, and turning to our brothers and sisters who serve you can provide answers. May we be faithful in attending to those things that you would have us do, for we ask these things in your Son's name.